It's a natural gas pipeline. It's not oil. And so it's under about 1,400 pounds of pressure per square inch, like if you took an offensive line and put that much on every inch. This pipeline company, a private company, the federal right of eminent domain to take the use of private land from private owners, whether they want to have that use or not. And the gas is not for us. It's a gigantic pipeline, 42 inches. And as far as we can tell, it's going to India, New York State, and other places outside of the state of Virginia. So that's what we're looking at. So the process is really kind of a three-ring circus.
You hear that like Franklin County wants to tap into it. Is that enough for them to say, well, we do have some domestic use or some uses in Virginia?
The Roanoke Gas Company is a 0.5% user of it. If they tap in, they'll have to pay for it. And so 99.5% of it would go somewhere else.
One of the things you were saying was that this is one more step by a federal agency that would allow private companies to use eminent domain. Doesn't it sort of fly in the face? I know a couple of years ago, I think after the Kelo decision, Virginia sort of tightened up their eminent domain laws as far as who can use eminent domain. If this goes through, does this sort of fly in the face of what Virginia did legislatively?
Yeah, Virginia passed a constitutional amendment. However, so far that really only applies to whether surveyors can come on your land without your permission to do so, because this is the federal government and their right of eminent domain overpowers the state. So that's what's going on here. You've got an agency in Washington, D.C., with the Forest Service in Atlanta and the Bureau of Land Management, who knows where else, making these decisions. So they're not made locally or even at the state level.
We're talking with Diana Christopoulos from the Roanoke Appalachian Trail Club. The people running for governor, Ed Gillespie, says he's for pipelines, and Ralph Northam sort of seems to be saying, well, if they're going to build them, let's make sure they're done right. Is there really anything, Diana, that can really be done at the state level? I mean, it seems like New York State has pushed back on a couple pipelines, but is there really much that could be done at the state level if FERC says this is a go?
The state has an enormous power because they have to provide water permits for these pipelines. And so far, there have been three pipelines that have been approved by FERC that have not been able to be built, one in Connecticut back 2002 to 2007, and there's two in New York right now that the state of New York has stopped and will not give water permits to due to threats to public health and the environment.
And they're talking 1,100 water body crossings for the pipeline.
The Mountain Valley Pipeline. The pipeline is a huge threat to both well water that people would have anywhere along the route, but also, according to the pipeline company's own studies, it would send an enormous amount of sediment down the Roanoke River that would flow. This is their study. It would flow through Roanoke County, Salem, the city of Roanoke, all the way to either Niagara Dam or Smith Mountain Lake, and it would stay permanently higher than it had been before.
The FERC assessment also said there would be adverse impacts on forests. The impacts would be limited elsewhere. Do you agree with that? And are they sort of minimizing what might happen, in your opinion, to the forests?
Well, it's just very lax overall. The FERC is an agency that actually never finds that there's any significant environmental impact. That's probably one reason that pipelines built since 2010 are less safe and more likely to fail than any pipelines built since before World War II. And a pipeline this big, and FERC's ignoring this, would have an incineration zone 1,100 feet on each side of the pipeline, and it would have an area that would be seriously damaged for over 7,000 feet on each side of the pipeline. And yet, in a public hearing, when a woman from Giles, who would have the pipeline 62 feet from her kitchen, asked the project manager from FERC whether this was dangerous, he told her, and I quote, "Nothing ever happens with pipelines." So they're just living in a land where they think beyond 125 feet, where the right-of-way would be, that it has no impact, that it would not impact water, even though it's very clear that it would, that it would not be catastrophic to people that lived in the area. It's crossing the Appalachian Trail on top of a mountain in the middle of the Giles County seismic zone over near Perrysburg. The largest earthquake in Virginia history was in that zone, and there was one last month 10 miles from the pipeline. The area is also full of karst, which we've learned way more about than we wanted to. That's limestone and dolomite. It's the stuff that has sinkholes and caves.
And what I'm reading is that of the 300 or so miles of the MVP pipeline, that it would cross 67 miles of karst.
And almost all of that is from the West Virginia border to Bent Mountain. So what that means is that they'd be going into an area that could develop a sinkhole at any time. A pipeline a little smaller than this failed over in Kentucky a couple of years ago and created a giant crater. And yet again, FERC ignores this. It can also contaminate all the water if it fails in the wells in that area. And these pipelines all leak, so whatever's in those pipelines, and there's a lot of bad stuff in them, not just the methane, that can get into the water supplies of all the people that depend on it for their wells. So those are some examples. They're also ignoring the visual impacts on the Appalachian Trail for about 75 miles. They claim that they can reduce this down to a 50-foot little grassy strip going up and down these steep slopes. Anyone who has driven over to West Virginia on US 460 has probably seen the pipeline. It's a little 10-incher that was put in about 3.5 years ago. And that thing hasn't recovered at all. It's still as wide as it was on the day it was built. It's got all kinds of erosion coming, and I don't understand why on the same mountain a pipeline that has 17 times the volume of that one wouldn't have a bigger impact.
We're talking with Diana Christopoulos for the Roanoke Appalachian Trail Club. I am Gene Morano. Just a couple more questions. When you read the document, the assessment, what's the biggest thing that stands out to you, the biggest flaw, assuming you do that, in reasoning? Is there something overall that stands out?
Well, a couple of things. One is that they haven't proven that it's needed. We don't believe they've shown that it's needed. And they believe the pipeline, everything the pipeline company says about, even though this pipeline company's never built a pipeline like this, no one's ever built a big pipeline like this in this terrain. Just kind of a Pollyanna attitude about the real hazards to private property owners and the national forest. I think the one other thing I would mention to be aware of is there are two other permitting processes that are going on. It's not just the FERC. They are now in the position where if they get enough commissioners, they don't have enough right now.
And there's been a couple that have been nominated by the Trump administration.
Correct. They could then issue a certificate. And they have also stated in the FEIS, the final environmental impact statement, there are 26 conditions that still have to be met before they could start construction. But that's one ring of the three-ring circus. Then you have the Forest Service, which just started a 45-day objection period to their plan for allowing it to cross the forest. And then the third ring of the circus is the Department of Environmental Quality that issues water permits. All of these organizations are subject to lawsuits. The equivalent of the DEQ in West Virginia has already been sued for their lax oversight of water. And I'm certain there will be plenty of lawsuits. So this is far from a done deal.
You're a sports fan. If this was a football field, what line is the MVP, the Mountain Valley Pipeline, on as they're heading towards the goal line? Are they at the 50 yet? Are they in enemy territory? Where do you think they are?
So in terms of the approval process, they haven't crossed anything yet. They're probably about 50% to the approval. But in terms of construction, they're probably about on the 20 or 25-yard line. They're over a year behind already, and their way of declaring victory is to talk about when they're going to start cutting trees, since almost the whole thing is on a treed route. And they claim they're still going to be able to start cutting trees by the end of this year, and then it'll take them over a year to finish building it. I don't think they'll build it. I think we can win.